Welcome to the Radical Mother Village. If you're new here, a radical mother is a woman poised in her power, ready to disrupt cycles of generational trauma, running through her family like wildfire. She's working to improve her life, the lives of her children, and shape the landscape of her community. If that's you, you're in the right place. This podcast is designed to connect you with the resources, inspiration, and the reminder that you are not alone as you embark on your journey of radical mothering. In this show, you can look forward to conversations with fellow cycle breakers, experts in the field of trauma healing, and discussions on the foundational elements it takes to turn your goal of breaking cycles of trauma into a reality with topics like nervous system regulation work, reparenting, and releasing trauma that's held in your body. I'm your host, Krista Bevan, an expert companion for radical mothers, and I'm so excited you're here with me. Now, let's dive in. Hey, mamas, welcome back to another episode of the Radical Mother Village podcast. I'm your host, Krista Bevan. Happy New Year. If you are listening to this episode when it goes live, it is officially 2023. If my voice sounds funny, it is because I have just gotten over being sick again. You have probably heard me complain about this on the podcast already because my goodness, the sickness this season is just next level. And if you are also on the sickness merry-go-round like my family has been, holy hell, mama, I am right there with you. And I am also very much over it. And I feel very disrupted by the endless sickness and the endless interruptions. I keep having to reschedule appointments. I keep having to reschedule play dates. I keep double booking things because I've forgotten that I've rescheduled something that's been moved around three times because I'm sick and then my son is sick and then something else happens. It's a lot. So I just want to call that out and say that if you are there with me, you're in good company. Not the point of this episode, though, but I just want to call that out because when I'm always self-conscious when my voice sounds funny when I'm recording, but this is the time I've got to do it. So you're going to have to put up with my froggy voice. Maybe you can't hear it as much as I can. You can always notice things about yourself more than other people do, maybe. So that is my excuse for that, my reasoning. Anyway, what I did want to talk to you all about today is the topic of resistance and why change can be so hard for us on the level of what's happening in our brain and sort of the mechanics behind why this is true. So this actually came up. I was inspired to talk about this because I was having a conversation recently with a girlfriend. We were chatting about the Healy device. So the Healy is a bioenergetic resonance device that applies individualized microcurrents, microfrequencies to bring you into coherence and alignment with different programs that you select. Okay, so this is actually not the point of this podcast either. I'm actually thinking about doing a deep dive into the Healy in an upcoming episode because I have been using this now almost every single day for the last several weeks, and I have been having some really incredible and really wild results, including supporting me in mothering, supporting me in managing stress in my life, supporting me in helping to take care of my nervous system, and also go through some really, really big, heavy things that have come up in my personal life around some family of origin stuff that's been triggered lately. And all of it has been greatly supported and just really helped by using the Healy. So that's the sort of backstory. And I was chatting with my friend about it because I've been talking a lot about it over on my Instagram. If you're not following me over there, it's at the Radical Mother Village on Instagram. And so I've been talking about the Healy because, just the results have been so mind-blowing. So I've been sharing it with folks. So anyway, I was chatting with my friend about it, and she said, this sounds really great, except I think that even if I were to try it and get results, I wouldn't believe it. And there was something about that that really struck a nerve with me and stood out because I can so relate to that. And I have been in this place before where I have seen something or heard about something and thought, yeah, that's nice. That's good for them. that would never work for me. And my brain immediately wants to go into telling myself a story about why that can be true for them, but it would not be true for me. And I think that that's really common. And I think that's something that a lot of us do, is that we sort of try to justify why something can't help us the way that it has helped other people, regardless of what it is, right? Whether we're talking about a Healy or we're talking about a therapy technique like EMDR or parts work, or we're even just talking about a new food or a new show or, you know, something that somebody's recommending to us, we have a tendency to think that there's something different about them, or there's something different about us rather, that makes it so that this thing isn't going to work or isn't going to do what's promised or what's advertised about, again, fill in the blank, X, Y, or Z that's being recommended. And there's actually really good reason for that. So on a brain science level, what's going on and the way that our nervous system is protecting us. And so that's what I want to get into today, because I think, you know, this time of year, also being New Year's, with people setting New Year's resolutions and people getting really excited to sort of declare the changes that they're going to make for this upcoming year. And then after a couple of weeks, that can start to sort of fizzle out. And you can start to forget about those resolutions or realize that they aren't happening. And there's, again, there's good reason for why that happens. But when it is happening, we can oftentimes feel betrayed by ourselves, betrayed by our bodies, thinking things like, why can't I ever stick to things that I start? How come this works for other people but not for me? What's wrong with me? How come I can't ever have these things in my life, right? These sort of internal dialogues that get sparked and brought up. And so I want to discuss what's going on and how we can work with those things to actually bring in the level of change that we're seeking in our lives. Okay, so the big thing that's happening, the place that we're going to start, is looking at this idea of change and what that represents to our nervous system. So our nervous system and our brain, they have one job, and that's to keep us alive, okay? I had a therapist tell me this once, and it was one of the biggest sort of pivot moments in my life where I was able to start interacting with myself and viewing myself in an entirely different light, when he said to me, everything your nervous system does is in service of survival. And I'm sure I've mentioned this on the show before, but it bears repeating, right? Everything your nervous system does is in service to survival. That's all it cares about. It doesn't care about anything else except that one prime directive, because if that's not in place, nothing else matters. If you're not alive, it doesn't matter if your hormones are out of balance. If you're not alive, it doesn't matter if your digestion's not working. If you are not alive, it doesn't matter if your immune system isn't working within the correct parameters that we want it to be working in, right? None of these things matter. Your self-talk doesn't matter if you're not alive. So survival is number one, and that's where your nervous system and your brain are going to go in order to keep you alive, so that then these other things can come into play. So in order to do that, our brain finds safety in the familiar. Our brain and our response to things uses sort of a devil it knows kind of approach. So even if something is objectively unsafe, if it's the thing that your brain knows and knows how to deal with and has familiarity with and has seen before, it's gonna tend towards that choice. And the reason that it does that is because it knows what to expect. It knows what it's up against, and it would rather take that option than take the option of the unknown, because the unknown could always be worse. And that's sort of the position that your brain takes when evaluating situations. Okay, so even when it doesn't make sense to choose the option that it's choosing, it's going to keep picking the thing that's familiar, because familiarity equals safety to your brain. Now, let me give you an example of this. So we all know that person who has stuck it out, and maybe this has even been us, who has stuck it out in a bad relationship where the person wasn't treating us well at a minimum, or at worst, it was abusive and actually violent or harmful, emotionally abusive, physically abusive, it doesn't matter. We all know someone who's been in that situation, and part of us can go, what are they doing? Why are they still there? Why aren't they just leaving? Can't they see they're in this horrible situation? And the truth is that of course they can, but there's safety in the familiar, even when that familiar is subjectively unsafe. So that's sort of an extreme example when it's something that has to do with like immediate physical safety in the case of a relationship that might be abusive, right? But that idea applies to everything in your life, that your brain is going to try to orient you towards the familiar. It's the same reason why we keep recreating situations for ourselves. We stay in habitual patterns because those are the things that our brain knows how to do. It takes less energy to recreate things that we've been in, and it's less of a potential danger than reaching out and doing something new. It's why starting a new habit can be really difficult, because you have to work so hard to not only do the thing and remind yourself to do the thing and remember to do the thing, but also to overcome the tendency to want to avoid new habits. And again, this is your brain just trying to keep you safe. There's nothing wrong with you for doing that. It's your subconscious mind is really driving the show in those moments and trying to use as little energy as possible to keep you alive. Now, our conscious mind can come in and say, no, I really want to start this new exercise routine, or no, I really want to allow the Healy device to work for me, or whatever it is, right? Going back to that conversation that I had with my friend, your conscious mind might want to find evidence of how it can work for you, or how it can be something that's going to support you, and allow yourself to believe the changes that it's making, to allow yourself to believe, no, when I drink a green juice every day, I really do have more energy and I really do need less caffeine. The part of you that's used to just drinking another cup of coffee in the afternoon might be thinking, this is just going to be easier. The green juice is a lot of work. Then I have to clean the juicer. I don't know if it's actually helping, right? And our conscious brain is sort of at odds with our subconscious brain, having this internal conflict. And until we can get the subconscious brain on board to really believe that these things are supporting and helping us, it's going to keep fighting against us. So one of the things that we can do is we can acknowledge that this is happening, right? So first off, alteration follows awareness. When we observe things, they can then change. So when we can start to understand that this is the dynamic at play and that there's nothing wrong with us for resisting change and resisting things that might help us, we can start to negotiate these conversations with ourselves from a more informed place. Hey mamas, I am excited to introduce you to the sponsor of today's show, Pure Spectrum, who makes a line of different CBD and hemp products. I have been a big fan of CBD for both anxiety management and nervous support for many, many years, and I love Pure Spectrum's products. You know how much I am a fan of activities that nourish your nervous system, and so for me, CBD is definitely one of those things that I can do to help support my nervous system. The benefits of CBD use include better sleep, pain relief, reduced stress and anxiety, improved focus, reduced inflammation, and so much more. CBD has even been studied for its benefits for the management of PTSD with some really good results. So, Pure Spectrum offers a line of different products, including tinctures and gummies and soft gels, lots of different ways to take it internally, but they also have a variety of external options with topicals like lotion. They have a really amazing face cream that I have been using and loving. It is super moisturizing, which my dry winter postpartum skin is absolutely loving. As a sponsor of the show, they're offering 15% off your order when you use code RADICALMOTHER. So that's all one word, all in caps, when you go to check out. So again, it's code RADICALMOTHER to save 15% off your next order. And you can find the link to their website where you can place that order in the show notes. Okay, back to today's episode. The second thing that we can do is we can understand that our subconscious brain is trying to avoid danger, and in its place, we can intentionally provide it with cues of safety. We can do things to remind our subconscious brain that we are actually safe. So we can do embodiment practices. We can do grounding exercises. We can do physical movement. We can do breath work. We can do mindset techniques. All of these things are going to help tell the subconscious brain that we are safe and that change is safe and that it is safe to change. Here's the other thing that happens is that when we have a history of trauma, and particularly unresolved trauma in our bodies and in our brains, our brain can become wired to see the world as inherently unsafe. So everything that I've said up until now is true for everyone, that our subconscious brain is trying to keep us alive. It takes a devil we know kind of approach to safety. It prefers the known to the unknown. It likes the familiar. Those are true for everyone. But here's the thing, is that for people with a history of trauma, our brain can actually become skewed even more towards finding danger in newness. It can become even more skewed toward seeing things that are not actually dangerous as being danger. There was a really interesting study that was done with people with trauma who were shown faces of people that had sort of objectively had like a neutral expression on their face. So they weren't really showing a lot of emotion. And what the study did is it looked at people who had a history of trauma and people who didn't. And the people who didn't have a history of trauma viewed these sort of neutral faces as neutral. They weren't really triggered by them. Nothing really happened in their nervous system when they viewed these faces. They sort of ranked them as just being, you know, a neutral or friendly face. The people who have a history of trauma, however, when they were evaluating these same faces, were seeing them as threatening. They viewed the people as being angry. They viewed the people as having an emotional response, a negative emotional response, right? So our trauma history, and especially a history of childhood trauma and chronic trauma that we have lived with, those things skew the way that we see the world. They actually change the structure of the brain. So they have a tendency to make the amygdala, which is part of the brain that assesses threat and assesses your sort of response to threat. The amygdala in people who have a history of trauma is actually bigger. It's more developed. So it's sort of the guard dog part of your brain. Again, I've talked about this on the show before, and it's a bigger guard dog than people who haven't had a history of trauma. And so this, knowing this about yourself, means that you can know that you are going to be even more resistant to change. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It's just intel that you can use to work with yourself to know these things, right? Just like if you are short, you're going to need to get a chair to reach things on the top shelf in the kitchen. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with being short. It just means that you know to reach those things, you've got to get a chair out, right? So if you have a history of trauma, you know that you're going to be more resistant to change. So you just need to do a little bit more coaching with yourself in order to allow change to come into your life, right? Is this making sense? So it's not, and that's why I bring this up, because it isn't that there's anything wrong with you. It's just, this is the way that your body is. And so you got to learn to work with it. But knowing this means that you can learn to work with it. Another place that this comes up for people a lot, and especially for people who have a history of growing up in a dysfunctional family environment, is that if you're not used to feeling at ease, if you're not used to feeling calm, if you're not used to feeling grounded and safe in your body, all of a sudden having those things exist and having those things happen can feel like a threat. those can start to trigger those protective parts of ourselves that want to keep us from the unknown. So if you grew up in chaos and you feel comfortable in chaos, calm is going to feel like a threat. If you grew up in a situation where everyone bottled up their emotions and you didn't talk about feelings, all of a sudden, if you find yourself in a relationship with a person, whether it's a romantic relationship or a work relationship or whatever the dynamic is, but if all of a sudden you're with somebody who is speaking with open and honest communication, that can all of a sudden feel threatening because that's not what you're used to. You're used to people who shut things down, people who don't talk about things, people who are out of touch with their feelings. So again, you can kind of think back on your own childhood and what those sort of dynamics were like, and then think about situations that you've been in as an adult where it's kind of the opposite of that, and think about how you feel. Think about how that resonates for you. Think about how that lands in your body. How does that feel? Do you tend towards those situations or do you tend away from them? Basically, the bottom line is that we become accustomed to the environment that we are in. We are very much creatures of habit because, again, it serves us really well from a survival standpoint. So here's an example. Think about your ancestors who are going to be out foraging and they come across a new type of berry, let's say. If they eat the wrong food, it might kill them. If they eat something that they haven't had before that they don't know is poisonous or not, there's a chance that what they eat could kill them. And that's obviously not good for survival of the group, right? And so waiting and hoping to find the thing that they knew was safe while they're out foraging, even if it means they have to go hungry while they're looking for it, while they're looking for the thing they know they can eat, that's going to serve them better from a survival standpoint than taking a chance on something new. And that's exactly what is happening in your brain and in your body when something that might help you comes up. So it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. So again, I really want to hammer that point home. Okay, so I just want to wrap this conversation up with one more thing that you can do when you recognize that this is happening. So when you are trying to change something or you're trying something new that you know might help you, a really helpful thing that you can do is have a conversation with yourself. So this is where I really appreciate the lens of parts work and internal family systems and being able to identify that there is a part of you that's scared to let something help and there's a part of you that really wants the help. And when you can identify that these two things can coexist at the same time, you can allow those parts to sort of have a conversation with one another. You can reason with yourself, I'm going to try this thing and I'm going to try letting myself feel at ease and feel relaxed and feel calm for 5 minutes and see how that feels. Okay, I'm going to try this thing for a day and see how it feels. I'm going to try this thing for 3 sessions and allow it to help. And if I still don't like it, then I can let go of it or whatever it is, right? You can, again, it's about having this conversation and this negotiation with yourself to sort of say, hello, protective parts. I see you. I see what you're doing. I thank you for being here. I understand that you're trying to keep me safe. And I'm also going to do this thing that will benefit me in the long run. Do you think I can try this? And just see how your body responds. See what kind of reaction you get on a physical level when you have that kind of conversation with yourself. Now, I realize this can sound kind of silly if you're not used to doing this sort of parts work or having these conversations with yourself. It can be sort of along the lines of inner child work and how you can speak to your inner child. Your inner child is really just a part. And so in that same way, you're going to speak to these firefighter protective parts, guard dog parts, whatever you want to call them, and just see if you can reason with them to allow some of this change to come in. And you might be really surprised what that dialogue can do to supporting you in making these changes. Okay. Hopefully this episode helped make some sense of what's going on when you are resisting change and give you some ideas for what you can do to work with that. Because if you can start to master being able to allow change to come into your life, it's going to supercharge the results that you can get when you are on a path of healing some of this stuff from your past. So, as always, thank you for listening. I appreciate your time, and I will see you all around here in the next show. All right, mamas, that wraps up another episode of the Radical Mother Village podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, will you do me a giant favor and share it with another mama who might love it too? You can also share it on social media and tag me. I'm on Instagram @TheRadicalMotherVillage. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week.